Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Yeah, you know what time it is. What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is August 9th. 2018. We are counting down the days until the start of the college football season. Heck, for all of you football fans out there, the NFL will have an impressive slate of preseason games today. Now, say what you will about preseason football, I think we can all agree that it's just good to see the pigskin flying around on your tube again, right? A lot of games slated for tonight. Many of them late starts, including my Dallas Cowboys taking on the San Francisco 49ers. How about Andrew Luck? Yeah, Andrew Luck will be taking the field tonight, folks. It has been about 585 days since Andrew Luck has played in an NFL game. That's roughly about a year and a half. That's going to be much anticipated tonight. I'm curious to see how much he does play tonight on the road at Seattle. But a full slate of preseason football games out there. I'm not a huge NFL preseason fan because, again, it's preseason football. I'm a guy who just likes to get right into the thick of the regular season. Heck, why not adopt the college football model and just get right into it, right? You don't need any preseason Michigan State football games to get the Spartans ready. But, hey, there you have that. Also, the PGA Championship. Taking place, getting underway officially this morning out in St. Louis. I should say a very hot and scorching St. Louis. Now, I think that the players who are participating out in St. Louis right now are very fortunate because this week it has been cooler in comparison to most weeks throughout the summer out there. Still hitting 90 degrees, but they did get a lot of rain earlier on in the week, which helps. So we'll keep you updated as to what the leaderboard looks like. And right now I'm staring at my laptop and I am actually streaming round one. And I've been following the feature group of the day. Tiger Woods, Justin Thomas, who was just coming off a win at the WGC Bridgestone Invitational over the past weekend, right? You always talk about, you know, what kind of turnover a golfer will have after playing in a tournament in which he's won and then going into another tournament the following week, let alone a major. Justin Thomas is looking pretty good right now. He sits at 2 under. Ricky Fowler leading the pack through 16 holes of play at 4 under. I'll let you know where Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy, some of the other big names, Phil Mickelson, some of the other big names, where they sit in just a moment. On today's Current Sports, though, a few great discussion topics that I'm really chomping at the bit to get to. The new NCAA rules that are supposed to be adopted pretty soon in the world of college basketball. Now, we brought that breaking story to you all on the airwaves a little after 1:20 p.m. on the Wednesday edition of Current Sports. I've now gotten about, 24 hours to digest the details of the new rules, and I want to clarify a few things, all right? Because I think just on the surface, reading the new rule changes that the NCAA wants to adopt, they sound all fine and dandy to me, but there are still a few hurdles that we aren't putting in perspective here when discussing this story. So we'll talk about the new NCAA rule changes. Also, as promised on yesterday's show, we'll dive into some college football news. I want to sound off on what's happening out in Alabama with Nick Saban's Crimson Tide and this whole Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa situation. Who's going to start? And then we saw Jalen Hurts, you know, voice his displeasure about how there's been a lack of communication with himself and the, well, on the part of the Alabama coaching staff, not really being transparent with him, not really checking on whether or not he's happy with his situation there, and Nick Saban's response to all of that. So we'll talk about that and talk a bit about of the college football scene as it pertains to the Big Ten, and bring you just a few small updates as it concerns the Ohio State football controversy taking place out in Columbus, Ohio. And then on the back end of the show, we will have Throwback Thursday for you all, as we customarily do every Thursday edition of Current Sports. We will do all of that jazz while, of course, inviting you to be a part of the dance. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us on social media. Three ways in which you can do so. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and check out the live stream there and comment below that video. And you can tweet us two ways. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. You know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, the Michigan football team has another departure on its hands. Wide receiver Eddie McDoom. I love that last name. Too bad it won't be called on the Big House field this season. But Eddie McDoom has opted to leave the program. That's according to team spokesman Dave Bluff. He confirmed that news to MLive yesterday. Now, McDoom was spotted leaving the football building in Schembechler Hall earlier yesterday with garbage bags 6 days into the start of fall camp. Now, he did not immediately respond to a request for comment from multiple sources, but McDoom's departure marks the fourth from a wide receiver this offseason. Maurice Ways from California and Drake Harris from Western Michigan pursued graduate transfers in the spring. And last week, junior Kakoa Crawford was left off of Michigan's 2018 roster. Now, neither Crawford nor Michigan have confirmed his departure, but he was not present for the start of fall camp. All right, another former Michigan State running back has been signed by an NFL team. Now, one day after Jeremy Langford signed with the Miami Dolphins, undrafted free agent Gerald Holmes joined the Seattle Seahawks. A rookie from Flint, Holmes was a valuable part of the Spartans' backfield during the 2015 through 17 seasons. The 6'1", 231-pound RB logged at least 79 carries in each season. The Flint Carmen Ainsworth graduate posted a one-word reaction on Twitter yesterday afternoon, saying, quote, opportunity. We'll see what Gerald Holmes does. I'm excited to see if he can pan out at the next level. All right, the Michigan State women's soccer team will play the first of its two exhibition matches to open the 2017 preseason today at 4 p.m., so about 3 hours from now, against Toledo. Now, today's match will be played at MSU's practice field, located west of the Martin Stadium, and fans are encouraged to bring their own chairs or blankets. Head coach Tom Saxton will be kicking off his 26th season at the helm of the Spartan program as Michigan State returns 9 starters from last year. Leading the returners is senior forward Jamie Cheslick, who led the Spartans in 3 different scoring categories with 5 goals and 4 assists for 14 points. Cheslick headlines the 6 of MSU's 7 scoring leaders from a year ago as sophomore midfielder Hannah Jones was tied for second on the team with 4 goals and added 1 assist for 9 points, ranking 3rd on the squad. So, how about that? MSU sports officially getting underway today with MSU women's soccer. The men play later on this week. We'll give you details on that matchup tomorrow. All right, and the NC2A announced yesterday widespread sweeping changes to college basketball's bylaws, its recruiting calendar, and in an evolutionary step forward, new legislation that gives more entitlements to student athletes. Now, the biggest changes are these. All players will get invited, to the NBA Combine, but go undrafted, will have the option to return to their former school. Now, elite prospects also will now be allowed to have official relationships with agents. Now, this applies to high schoolers and college athletes alike. USA Basketball, in conjunction with the NCAA, will be tasked with identifying which prospects in a given class are elite. In regard to high school athletes, however, the rules will not go into effect until the NBA changes its current age limit rule. Also, the NCAA is requiring all school presidents, chancellors, and athletic staff members to contractually comply with any and all future investigations. This is the NCAA's way of trying to institute a de facto version of subpoena power, which it lacked previously. Now, other changes include harsher punishments, such as postseason bans on programs that can last up to 5 years, potential lifetime show causes for level one violations from coaches, and suspensions for head coaches that can last more than a year. In just a moment, I want to clarify a few things as it pertains to the NCAA rule changes. So keep it locked. We'll get to that in just a moment. Larry Nassar. Yes, Larry Nassar's name is still making our quick hit headliners. Nassar has now appealed his sentences in all 3 courts where he pleaded guilty to either sexual assault or child pornography charges. Now, the latest appeal came on Monday when his court-appointed appellate attorneys filed a motion in Eaton County Circuit Court seeking a new sentencing hearing on the 3 sexual assault charges he pleaded guilty to back in November. Now, they also requested a new judge, although not in a separate motion. Now, the move follows similar action taken in Ingham County, where Nassar's court-appointed appellate attorneys sought a new sentencing and for Judge Rose Marie Aquilina, who in January sentenced Nassar to 40 to 175 years in prison and told him she was signing his death warrant, both to be disqualified from the case. So we'll be following that as the days unfold. All right. The Lions and Raiders. It was bound to happen. This happens a lot when it comes to joint practices among NFL teams just on the brink of the season. Now, we all know, as we talked about on yesterday's Current Sports, the Detroit Lions and the Oakland Raiders have been participating in joint practices prior to that first preseason game slated for tomorrow. Now, it was bound to happen. The Lions and the Raiders held their second of 2 joint practices yesterday at Redwood Middle School behind the Napa Valley Marriott. And the highlight of the day was a skirmish that broke out during an early practice run drill. Again, we see these all the time on a yearly basis. It was more pushing and shoving than a fist fight. That's what's being reported by reporters who were there and witnessing it. But a few players ended up tangled on the ground as tempers flared and the teams had to be separated. Raider center John Feliciano was the instigator of the scrum, according to the Freeps' Dave Burkett, as he hit Lions linebacker Jerry Davis at the end of a play. Anthony Zettel took exception and said, "Whoa, that's my bro." And he shoved Feliciano. And Feliciano responded by taking a swing at Zettel. Oh, good times. Can't we all just get along? This is what happens, though, when you have a lot of testosterone built up on the heels of a season of the NFL. I have no problem with it. It's football. It's an aggressive sport. All right, the Detroit Tigers. Bring out the brooms, because the Tigers have been swept yet again. The bats went cold, forgot to show up in another showcase of dismal offensive results. A 6-0 loss to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Cole Calhoun, Albert Pujols, and Justin Upson homered off Tiger starter Blaine Hardy, who gave up 5 runs on 7 hits before giving away to Artie Lewicki. who was called up yesterday from AAA Toledo in the sixth. Detroit was outscored 32-8 and shut out three times on the six-game West Coast trip to Oakland and Anaheim. All but three of Detroit's runs over 58 innings of play out West came in Tuesday night's 11-5 loss to the Angels. The Tigers are now 47-68 on the season and totally irrelevant in the world of Major League Baseball. I see you pumping your fist behind the glass, Jack. Why is that?
Trust the process, man. First overall pick.
Adopt the same model as we see in the NBA with the Philadelphia 76ers, right?
Big losses this week. Couple more big losses to come down the stretch, man.
But really, I mean, it's baseball. You know, it's like, it's not like, you know, if you do get the top draft pick in the MLB, that one player can't completely turn around the franchise, you know, because it's baseball, you know? It's not like the NBA. It's not like the NBA, but it's just an eyesore watching the old English D on a given game. It's really tough right now. All right, some positive news. Former Detroit Pistons center Ben Wallace was perhaps best known for his monster blocks and overall defensive expertise on the basketball court, but blocking shouldn't be necessary on Sunday, as 40 NASCAR drivers are mandated to keep behind Wallace as he drives the pace car for the Consumers Energy 400 at MIS. Wallace, a member of the 03-04 NBA Championship team, will lead the field to the green flag. The race begins at 2:30 p.m. on Sunday. You can catch that on the NBC Sports Network. In his 16 NBA seasons, Wallace averaged, again, he wasn't a big scorer, just 6 points per game, but 9.6 rebounds per game and 2 blocks per game. He played for the Pistons, the Washington Bullets / Wizards, Orlando Magic, Chicago Bulls, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's going to be really cool, though. You really don't see Big Ben in the spotlight a lot since he has retired. That's going to be a cool moment, though, as Ben will lead as the pace car at Michigan International Speedway. And you might want to check your J's to make sure the Jumpman symbol isn't facing backwards after this bombshell broke out in the sneaker world. The news broke yesterday that an alleged international counterfeit ring slapping Nike logos on generic shoes was busted up in New York City. I just can't help but laugh. I may want to go home and check my Jordans now. I probably not any Jordans in New York. But authorities say that 385,000 pairs of fake Jordan shoes were produced. 385K. Now, the shoes were imported from China to Newark, where a Nike logo was added before being shipped to Queens to sell. Now, the scheme that ripped off shoes that retail for $190 cost Nike more than $70 million. Are you kidding me? But that used to be a thing. You know, I grew up on the west side of Detroit, and I have to admit, there were about three places that I knew of that I would go to, my family members would go to back in the day, and they were fake. They were fake Nikes. They were fake Jordans, and cats would rock them, man. But you did not want to be caught at school rocking fake Jordans or fake Nikes because you were going to get clowned, Jack. You would get clowned in front of the whole class. And it happened on a few occasions back when I was in middle school. All right. Not with me, but with cats I knew. All right. So, yeah,
I believe that. You know what? I mean, in college now, the fake jerseys are the way to go, at least.
What? Hold on. Cats are wearing fake jerseys now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because you can get them for $20.
Wow.
I mean, a real jersey is $150. Like, I'm asking for a fake jersey for my birthday.
That's great. You know what? This brings to mind, I don't know if you watch Atlanta on FX. It's a great show produced by Donald Glover or Childish Gambino, whatever you want to call him. He's one of my favorite entertainers out there. But there's an episode called FUBU. FUBU used to be the big thing back in the 90s. You know, it was the big urban apparel company back in the 90s. I used to rock FUBU a lot. But it kind of details a moment where, you know, these kids in school, one kid is caught wearing fake FUBU. And I'll just leave it at that. Check it out. It's one of the best episodes of the series. And it's not like you need to, you know, watch the series and catch up in order to enjoy that episode. So, yeah, but check your shoes. Anybody rocking Nikes that you bought from NYC, make sure they're real. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
We'll be right back. Well, we'll whatever happens. Let me just say this. None of this goes into effect until the NBA and the Players Association come up with something, and I'm hearing it won't be until 2022. So we're probably wasting our breath dealing with the ins and outs of this. Like, I'll give an example. I'm here in the Bahamas, and the CEO of USA Basketball, Jim Tooley, is here. And he's like saying, wait a minute, wait, we deal with one of the one percenters. We don't deal with foreign players. We're not, USA Basketball, in a position to try to say who gets an agent and who's not. And he's willing to do summer stuff, but not himself. He wants to be with others. He wants to collaborate with the NBA, with the NCAA, with the Players Association, USA, together. But USA Basket, so there's a lot of stuff that needs to be worked out. I'll give you one. They're saying a player can leave, put his name in the draft, and if he doesn't get drafted, I wish if he was in the second round, he could go back to college. But if they want it to be that he can go back to college after he's not drafted, my question is, what if there are no scholarships at that school because they gave the scholarships away because they thought he was leaving? What does that kid do now? Does he go to another school? Does he have to sit out? Sit out? He was trying to leave. I just hope as we go through all this stuff we're doing, we're thinking about what to do to these young people. I hope we don't have this, none of these kids belong on a college campus. It isn't true. Don't you believe that?
All right, before we dive into those comments from the head coach of the Kentucky men's basketball team, famed head coach of the Wildcats, John Calipari, who weighed in on ESPN questioning the new rules that the NCAA adopted, saying that there's a lot of stuff that needs to be worked out. Before I dive into that, just a quick update when it comes to the PGA Championship taking place out in St. Louis, Missouri. And really quickly here, right when I was about to announce that he has the lead and is 5-under, he just birdied the last hole of the first round to put him at 6-under. Ricky Fowler is on fire right now. He finishes up round one shooting a 64. Literally, as I was introducing that, the score changed. He is 6-under. A 6-under 64, round one. Leads the pack at the PGA Championship, round one. Austin Cook, along with a plethora of other players like Stuart Cink, Brian Gay, Pat Perez, Ian Poulter, all at 3-under right now. A few of those individuals still playing. When it comes to some other big names, Jason Day sits at 2-under with 2 to play. Tiger Woods, I'm scrolling here to see where Tiger is. Tiger is still at 1-over. He was 2-over at the turn. And, you know, at the turn, actually, he birdied the final hole on that back nine. Because he played the back, then the front. Final hole of the back nine, and then the first hole of the front nine. Seem to be getting on a bit of a roll, but I think that's solid position. But again, when you look at Ricky Fowler at 6-under, yeah. Plus one through 16 for Tiger Woods. Tiger, in my opinion, is just still, I tell you what, that approach game needs to tighten up, as well as, you know, how accurate he is off the tee. No, he's not great in greens and regulation, as I just stated. But, you know, when it comes to just hitting fairways, my goodness, Ty. You know, it's like stay away from your driver right now. He's great with the driving iron. He's great with his 3-wood. But please do not take the driver out the bag, Ty, because it's no telling where it may go. I mean, he started off the round, the first two holes. You know, he hits the rough right off the tee. You know, and he goes 3-over through the first two holes. And then he was just really trying to dig himself out of that hole ever since. And, you know, we saw some, you know, some moments of brilliance for him. But again, that's what you're getting with Tiger Woods. You know, he may have a great Thursday or Saturday, you know, a great two rounds in any given weekend. But it's really tough for Tiger right now to put together four great rounds to put him in contention to possibly win a tournament, let alone a major. So and Tiger does like the new putter that he has, but, you know, there are times where I question it. So Tiger Woods, again, Tig is trying to compete here. He's one over through 16. I got his round streaming right now. Again, the featured group for today, Tiger Woods, Justin Thomas, and Rory McIlroy, who actually had a pretty solid start to his round today. And right now, Rory sits even par through 16. All right, let's dive into the comments from John Calipari. And he has some really good points here because, you know, Jack, when we were on the air yesterday, this story broke a little after 1:20. And again, we're on the air, so it's impossible for us to really read the details of the new NCAA rules at the time and really give them time to digest and then form an opinion about them. But as soon as I got off the air and, you know, pubbed the show in my office, I began to read up a bit about this new proposed rule change. And I think the three bullet points I want to highlight here, the new NCAA policy and rule changes, the three bullet points I want to highlight here are these. Elite high school basketball recruits and college players will be able to hire agents. That's a game changer because I think this has a direct correlation to the conversation that we've been having for a long time in regards to college athletes and compensation, possibly getting paid, being able to use their name and likeness. Because, you know, depending on your talent level, using your name and likeness to put yourself in the best position to make some moolah and to make that leap professionally. Second bullet point, underclassmen who enter the NBA draft and go undrafted, no longer will it be a one-way street. Enter the NBA draft, you don't get drafted, you're a bit, you know, upset, maybe regretting that decision. Oh, man, what do I have to do now? Maybe see if I can, you know, go to the G League or play overseas, i.e. Brian Bowen. Don't know if you guys saw that story. Brian Bowen will be playing overseas now. That was a bit of a shocker that I read this morning. So no longer will it be a one-way street, though. You can return to school pending approval from the NBA and the NBPA. And final bullet point here I want to elaborate on. Two independent groups will be formed to resolve complex rules violation cases. Coach Cal, who is a pretty big voice in the world of college sports, college hoops, says that, look, we're really jumping the gun here. There are, quote, there's still a lot of stuff that needs to be worked out. And I think he has a fair point here. Because the NCAA ended up, you know, launching a set of subcommittees to address the fallout from the FBI investigation. Let's not forget, college basketball right now is under a pretty big microscope for violations involving many players, some coaching personnel involved in this whole thing. That's a federal investigation that is taking place. I mean, we're talking about wire transfers. Pretty big stuff. And that has resulted in several policy shifts. And one of the big questions I had, first off, upon hearing about this story was, all right, this is the NCAA's policy, proposed rule changes. But are you telling me that USA Basketball and the National Basketball Association have all signed off on these rule changes? Because these are rules that have a direct impact on those organizations, a direct impact on the NBA, a direct impact on USA Basketball. And in regards to that FBI investigation that has resulted to a lot of policy shifts, the NCAA stated that it wanted really no part for one thing here. And that is that it would bear no responsibility for selecting elite senior high school prospects who will be allowed to sign with registered agents. So if the NCAA, which I think it's a pretty good idea that they're not going to be selecting who are the top prospects in the world of high school hoops, because there's so much corruption right now. I mean, goodness, NCAA, you are under investigation right now from the federal government. So I don't think the NCAA should be involved in the selection process of who the elite players are, because, again, we're talking direct ties to the professional level of basketball in the NBA. Because those who are selected as, quote, elite senior high school prospects can then sign with an agent. They can sign on with an agent. USA Basketball, it's stated as that USA Basketball does not have the infrastructure in accepting the role of evaluating who are the elite players, who, again, will be allowed to sign with agents at the end of their junior years. USA Basketball doesn't want to, you know, be a part of the selection process. So who does it fall on? The NBA? Well, the NBA hasn't approved this. So there's a lot of holes here when discussing agents and which players are going to be selected as the creme de la creme of the high school hoops world. I find it funny that the NCAA, who loves to dip its hand in everything college sports, I think this FBI investigation has spooked the NCAA now, and they kind of just want to wash their hands and say, yeah, USA Basketball, you all are going to handle this. NBA, you all are going to handle this. But this is our new policy. Basically saying, this is our new policy. You got to adopt to it. You think USA Basketball and the NBA are just going to roll over and say, okay? No, that's not going to happen here. So, and then, you know, the NBA has yet to adopt the, you know, the rule that I think is long overdue, allowing elite high school basketball players who believe that they are NBA talent to make that jump from high school to the NBA. The NBA has said that, all right, this will probably happen, but not until about 2022. So we still got some time here. So another question is, okay, with this new policy proposal from the NCAA, you expect this to go in effect for what, this upcoming year? Right now? No. There's still a lot of hurdles here, folks. I mean, none of this will go into effect until the NBA and the Players Association and USA Basketball all collectively get on the same page here. So my other question here is, why did the NCAA, you would assume that, okay, they would also have this same kind of thought process. Why would they even put this out there? I don't understand it on a lot of different fronts here, Jack. We have Jack Kerwin and Alec Rio, current sports PAs behind the glass, doing a fantastic job. I want to hear the thoughts of both of you guys, because I just think that there's still a lot of gray area here. I think it's going to be a while before we do see this come into effect. When it comes to the policy changes that are being proposed, I like them, to be honest with you. I don't think it should be a one-way street for a young man who has decided to kind of test the waters of the NBA and may not get selected. Oh, my goodness, woe is me. Now I have no opportunity to go back to the college. Now, that does put, as John Calipari stated, and I don't agree with Calipari a lot here, but he brought up some good points. It does put whatever program, whatever college basketball team and coach in a pretty tough position, because if your player decides to go to the NBA and test the waters, what is that coach going to do? Just sit around and just wait to see if that player gets drafted? No, he's going to keep recruiting. He's going to keep offering scholarships. And yeah, there may be a situation where that scholarship that was yours, young man, who decided to go to the NBA, is no longer there. So I can't guarantee you a spot to come back on this squad. So yeah, that provides a hurdle, you know, but hey, if it doesn't happen for that young man, he should be allowed to either go back to the school he came from if there is a scholarship left, or go somewhere else. It should not be a one-way street. Just thoughts on this, Jack.
Yeah, for sure. You brought up a lot of good points, certainly addressing it. And you know what? I'm also a fan of the changes. It's kind of going the direction I want to be going. I like the idea that elite prospects have the opportunity to hire agents. Ideally, for me, I want elite prospects to have the opportunity to enter the draft out of high school, personally. But I like the way it's going. You know, I hope it's all plausible. It all sounds great. I hope, you know, they can effectively implement these changes.
And you know what? Real quick quote from Coach Cal when he was on ESPN. And you just heard it. If you didn't hear it, this is what he stated. Quote, I'll give you an example. I'm here in the Bahamas, and the CEO of USA Basketball, Jim Tooley, is here. And he's saying, wait a minute. We deal with one of the one percenters. We don't deal with foreign players. We're not in a position to try and say who gets an agent and who does not. So if that, in fact, is true, if Jim Tooley is saying this, USA Basketball and the NBA aren't on the same page as the NCAA when it comes to these rule changes. So read the rule changes. Sure, they're all fine and dandy, but I still think that we are a long way from this being concrete in the world of college basketball. Alec?
So I really do think that these rules are great because I don't think that players, like, when they want to go to the draft, I don't think that it should be an absolute ultimatum to where, like, if they don't get drafted, then they can't come back to the college. So at least like with these new rules, the players get the opportunity to test the waters without having to completely leave the college for good.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know what? We're getting some, and I agree with you there, Alec, and we're getting some comments on our Facebook page right now. Ben says at facebook.com/WKAR News, I don't agree with that rule, and the rule he's referring to is the rule for high school players to make the jump, to be allowed to make the jump from high school to the NBA. Ben goes on to say you should have to have at least 2 years of college ball under your belt before you go pro. And I get what Ben's saying to a certain extent, because I do believe that the players who are coming out as one and dones in college basketball, a lot of them are not prepared for the next level in the NBA. You know, I always go back to the stat that 39% of the players currently playing in the National Basketball Association, 39% have had at least one stint in the NBA's development league, known as the G League now. 39%, that is far too high. And that tells me that those who are going one and done are not prepared. You still got stuff to work on. So this is the modification you have to make sure that those who are coming in are more prepared than they currently are right now. If you believe that you are ready, sure, make the jump. But if you decide to go to college and not make that jump from high school to college, you at least have to stay 2 years. I have no problem with that. So you're not just saying, all right, I can just go to college then, get some experience under my belt, boost my NBA draft stock and just peace out after 1 year. There's going to be some kind of level of commitment to the college level. And the more years you stay in college, the better you will get. Firmly believe that. So a lot of ways you can look at this. But again, I just don't believe this is not something that's going to happen right now. Is it a sexy headline? Without a doubt, it is. I don't know what the NCAA was trying to do here. I think that they kind of jumped the gun, you know? Basically saying, yeah, we're going to do this, even though we really don't know if USA Basketball or the NBA are on board. Still got a lot to solidify before this goes into effect. Your thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to hit our first break right now, and when we come back, we will talk some college football. I'll give you an update on what's taking place out in St. Louis at the PGA Championship, as Tiger Woods and Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy, the featured group of the day, are finishing up round one. We'll talk some college football. I got some news to pass along to you all when it comes to Alabama and the whole Jalen Hurts situation, quarterback situation. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Okay, I got some breaking news here. Literally, this was reported a minute ago. I'm not sure if it's true, but it's being reported by the state news. I'm following John LeBlanc, who has been on the show multiple times. I actually saw John at Michigan State Football Media Day earlier this week on Monday. Get this. The Detroit Pistons and the Cleveland Cavaliers will take to the Breslin Center at 7 p.m. on October 12th for a preseason game. That's according to the Cleveland Cavaliers website. Pistons, Cavs, preseason NBA basketball, October 12th. Now, John followed up with that story with this tweet. He called the Breslin Center for comment. Apparently, it was unofficial still, and they told him to call back in the next week or so. And then John says, quote, "Then I told them the Cavs released it on their website and seemed surprised and didn't know the Cavs released it already." So there's some back and forth going. But right now, according to the Cleveland Cavaliers website, the Pistons and the Cavs, October 12th for a preseason NBA game. I would love to be at that. I'm definitely going to be at that. I mean, that's around my birthday. And you guys know I'm a big Pistons fan, diehard Pistons fan, a diehard NBA fan. I'm definitely going to be in his house for that if it does happen. What do you guys, has there ever been, we have to do some research, maybe behind the glass, maybe Alec or Jack, you guys can look this up, when the last time there has been an NBA game hosted in the friendly confines of the Breslin Center, or even maybe if you have to go all the way back, maybe to Jenison, if Jenison Fieldhouse, former home of the Michigan State men's basketball team, whether or not Jenison has ever hosted an NBA game. But what are your thoughts on this, guys? Is that something you would be interested in attending as students?
I'd have to see. It'd be interesting. It's certainly cool that, you know, NBA teams are coming to East Lansing. East Lansing's got to have Dan Gilbert's fingerprints all over it with the Cavs and right. His impact at MSU. But no, that seems like a cool idea.
Yeah, definitely. And that's where I was going next. I mean, Dan Gilbert, owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, without a doubt, you know, Pistons, Cavs is not a coincidence, not a coinky dink here. And Dan Gilbert, you know, a lot of people don't know the Gilbert Pavilion. That's named after Dan Gilbert. Dan Gilbert showed a lot of money into that new addition that you see when you first walk into the Breslin Center doors, and you have the Hall of History and, you know, the big Spartan head logo with a video screen plastered into it. And you got, you know, all the greats plastered on the walls everywhere. I mean, Dan Gilbert, yeah, he shelled out a lot of money for that. He has a pretty good relationship with Michigan State basketball and Tom Izzo. Alec, is that something that you would want to check out as a student? I don't think either one of you guys are big NBA guys, though. But still, you know, NBA basketball in East Lansing, it's kind of cool.
I mean, I would love to go to that. I recently got into the NBA. I'd say like about 3-4 years ago, I started like seriously watching it. Mm-hmm. And to the people who made this a thing, I just say, shut up and take my money because I want it. I want to go to that for sure.
So you're all in. You're all in on an NBA preseason hoops, Pistons and Cavs, October 12th at the Breslin Center. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. In segment A, we were discussing the new NCAA rule changes. Again, I don't think they're going to be in effect for a long time. It seems to me like the NCAA just put out some stuff and they didn't really check with the NBA or USA Basketball to see if they were on board with it. So there's a lot of gray area when it comes to that story. And we have a few of you commenting on our Facebook page. And I made the point that I think that the NBA, it's long overdue, in my opinion, to allow elite high school players who believe that they are ready for the next level to allow those players to go from high school to the NBA. But if you decide to go to college, you at least have to spend 2 years. And one of our listeners, Chris, says that he would like to see them stay all four years. I think that's a bit excessive. That's not going to happen.
No, never. I mean, that's excessive. Like you said, I don't see why they can't. You know, college is supposed to prepare you for your career. And I mean, it would be hard for you to convince me that a star college basketball player needs 4 years in order to be prepared to head to the NBA.
No, not at all. I mean, some of these guys you can just look at and say, yeah, you can certainly make an impact at the next level. All right. So thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. 95-27. I want to briefly dive into this story here. Alabama head coach Nick Saban, he downplayed comments from quarterback Jalen Hurts over the weekend, expressing frustration over the way coaches have handled his status this offseason. Yeah, Jalen Hurts was not happy. I don't know if you guys saw this, but there's some controversy here because if you remember last year, Nick Saban praised, I praised him here on the air, the day after that thrilling national championship game, Alabama and Clemson, Jalen Hurts playing like crap in the first half. Nick Saban decides to make an adjustment and throw in Tua Tagovailoa. Tua comes in, throws three touchdowns, was in a complete zone, and that included the game-winning touchdown. Just an amazing game, and it sparked up a lot of controversy. And I must say, you know, every time the camera panned to Jalen Hurts during that moment, I mean, he was a good sport. He was you know, encouraging his teammate, Tua, clapping. He went crazy after the game, showed a ton of class. And now there's this quarterback battle, you know, between Hurts and Tagovailoa. And, you know, Tagovailoa, he played mostly, you know, backup duty, mop-up duty during the regular season until he came off the bench at halftime in that national championship game. Excuse me, over Georgia. I don't know why I'm thinking about Alabama, Clemson. Over Georgia, that game winner over Georgia. So Jalen Hurts has not been happy with the way the coaching staff has not been really communicating with him. You know, and again, this is according to Jalen Hurts. They have not really talked to him. And Nick Saban said this, quote, "Every player has a right to express what he feels and what he thinks. And I think he has every right to do that with every coach or anybody in the organization who he has relationships with. And we certainly do quite often with all players at all positions. This is probably a lot more to people outside this organization than it is to the people inside. I don't think it has any effect on our team." In which I say to that, I think I would argue the contrary, Nick, because anytime you have a player as big as of a name as Jalen Hurts, who plays the most important position on a football roster as quarterback, and you have this quarterback battle going on just, you know, weeks leading up into that first game for Bama, I think that can create some kind of disruption. And I think that it's telling that the players actually held a meeting discussing the comments from Jalen Hurts. They felt it was that serious that the players came together and held a players-only meeting to discuss the feelings of Jalen Hurts. He spoke to the media. Hurts spoke to the media on Saturday for the first time since being benched during that national championship game back in January. And again, he expressed frustration with the rumors that he's been reading on social media and other publications about his future and how there were people, quote, "making decisions for me," end quote. And if I could briefly here read a quote from Jalen Hurts from this past weekend, quote, "That's always been the elephant in the room. For me, no one came up to me the whole spring, coaches included. No one asked me how I felt. No one asked me what was on my mind. No one asked me how I felt about the things that were going on. Nobody asked me what my future held. That's that. So now it's like when we try to handle the situation now, for me, it's kind of late. It's too late. The narrative has already been created." Jack, Alec, big deal or no deal, this story and the comments you just heard from Jalen Hurts?
That they had a players-only meeting, you're wondering, or just in general?
Just in general. You got Jalen Hurts, who, again, is in the thick of things when it comes to the QB battle in preseason training camp. The players held a players-only meeting to discuss the comments from Jalen Hurts, who, again, was benched in a national championship game. I thought he handled it with great class. The fact, if this is in fact true, that Jalen Hurts has not been in communication with Nick Saban or anybody from the coaching staff to sit down and talk about where he stands as a player on this roster. And heck, You even had the quote, you know, from Nick Saban, you know, not too long ago. And he basically, you know, when he was asked about whether or not Jalen Hurts was going to be a part of the roster, he said he didn't know. I think this is a big deal. I think it is. And especially, I think it's telling that the players decided to hold a meeting for it. So I think this is drama that Nick Saban isn't used to. And I think when you're dealing with young men who are in college, who come to a program like Alabama football, in my opinion, the creme de la creme of college football, Jalen Hurts, who started all last season during the regular season, got him to the bowl game, and then something like that happens, you got to make sure, if you value that player as a coach, you make sure that transparency is at an all-time high. You talk to him, sit down with him, and make sure that he's good. The fact that, again, if it's in fact true that Jalen didn't talk with any member of the coaching staff, and then you got these rumors floating out, you know, out there, you know, is he going to be a part of the roster? Is Tua Tagovailoa going to take over his spot as starting QB? It was quite surprising to me to hear those comments. So I do think it's alarming and uncustomary for a team like Alabama and a coach like Nick Saban, who relatively doesn't have this kind of drama leading up to a season.
Yeah, sure. I guess I'd have to disagree with you. I don't think it's the biggest deal. What I imagine is happening here is, I think Nick Saban's known in his mind probably since the national title that Tua Tagovailoa is his guy. And so I certainly think he's probably handled this situation poorly if he hasn't been in communication with Jalen Hurts. But I guess my argument would be, I don't think it's as big of a deal as you, just because I don't see Jalen Hurts as a big part of this team moving forward, because I don't think he's going to be at Alabama much longer, just because I think Tua's the guy. And, you know, there have been reports basically since the national title game that Jalen Hurts might be going elsewhere.
Well, and again, those are just rumors. Those have been rumors, yep. Right? So rumor mill aside, the fact that, you know, Hurts said he was shocked when Saban told reporters at it happened at SEC Media Days, you know, when Nick Saban said that he had no idea whether Hurts would be on the roster opening day. The lack of communication is shocking to me.
Sure.
Because, again, this is Nick Saban. This is a guy who crosses his T's and dots his I's, you know, and his players love playing for him. It's shocking to me that your starting quarterback last year is feeling a bit slighted here. And we are letting, and Alabama is letting, the rumor mill and the blogs and the articles really dictate the story, instead of going to your quarterback and saying, hey, man, what's up? Do you want to be a part of this roster? Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be transparent with you, getting ahead of this and making sure that, again, communication is fluid on all fronts. It's a bit shocking to me. What's going to happen? I don't know. Again, we saw Tua Tagovailoa one half of game action last year, and it happened to be in the biggest game of his life, sure, in the national championship game. So does that justify just throwing Jalen Hurts in the garbage like, you know, a used piece of scrap paper and saying, yeah, that's our guy now? It was one half. Was it a magical half? Sure it was. Without a doubt, it was. But does it justify just saying, yeah, we're moving on, Tua, you're our guy? We saw one half. It was a magical half on college football's biggest stage, but my goodness, I don't get that. I'm a bit puzzled there.
Sure, absolutely. And you know what? I agree with you that it is puzzling, and it's not the way I certainly would conduct business here. But I don't know if it was necessarily, you know, just a great half the way you're referring to it, as much as, you know, Alabama's offense is Alabama, as great as they were last year, you know, they struggled on offense, and they really struggled to get consistent quarterback play out of Hurts all last year, I would
say. They did.
So I don't know. Again, to me, rumor mill aside, I'm not sure within the program this is a huge deal, just because I don't see Jalen Hurts playing a big role in the future. Sure, the optics are bad of it, but I don't know if this is, you know, this doesn't seem to me as big of a deal as it does to you, I guess.
Okay, well, we'll see. Again, at the end of the day, this is Alabama. You know, Alabama is, again, this is the top college football program in the nation, in my opinion. It's Alabama and then Clemson, Georgia, everybody else. There's certainly levels to this, and this is Nick Saban. You know, I think Nick Saban is going to go down as the greatest college football coach of all time. I've constantly said that as well. So if anybody is going to figure out this drama, it's going to be Nick Saban. All right, with just 4 minutes left, a quick update from St. Louis, the PGA Championship. My goodness, Ricky Fowler. Mad props to Ricky Fowler, who, again, he leads right now the leaderboard at 6 under. He finished, five under. Final. He shot a 65, actually. So it's weird, I guess, because it went final at 6 under, saying he shot a 64. So I guess ESPN made a little blooper there. He finishes up at 5 under, a 65, to finish out the first round. And then you have one player who I've never even heard of, Ali Schneiderjans. Never heard of that. Schneiderjans is this brother's last name. That's the world of golf. So much parody in the world of golf. Ali Schneiderjans is sitting at the lone place, second overall slide at the PGA Championship round one. He is through 15. He's got three left to play. And you have a plethora of players tied for third at 3 under, all shooting a 67. And Austin Cook, Ian Poulter, Pat Perez, Jason Day, and Tiger Woods. I told you about Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, last I checked, he was even par. And I'm scrolling here to see where he is right now. Yes, he still sits at even par. Just one more hole left to play. He is tied with Rory McIlroy. And there are a ton of players sitting at even par. If I was to list all those names, we'll be here until the start of yesterday's, or tomorrow's show, I should say. And Justin Thomas, who was also part of that group, he is 2 under. So Justin Thomas, again, continuing the hot streak that he was on at the WGC Bridgestone Invitational last weekend. So we'll talk more PGA Championship on tomorrow's Current Sports. Of course, we'll have Reflection Friday for you all as well. And yeah, I can't believe Friday is just a day away now. Happy Friday Eve, folks. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.